This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Are you seeing a rise in people accepting Islam?
Ashhadu, ashhadu, an la la ilaha ilaha illa illa Allah, Allah.
Tell you what I see. I see a lot of goodness in this, but not from that man.
Dirty.
Drinking water. Oh, this is the drones. And I said, and what does that mean?
What's the current situation now with Rafah?
Well, they were ahead of us. We took the same road they took, same day.
You took the same way.
Same.
Among them are an American Canadian dual citizen, a Polish citizen, an Australian, and three British citizens, their driver and translator, who is from Gaza.
Count your blessings.
Count your blessings.
Count your blessings.
The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are no days which righteous good deeds are more beloved to Allah than these 10 days of Dhul Hijjah. Assalamu alaikum, it's your brother Eddie, and I'm here at the Deen Center. This is the time during the blessed days of Dhul Hijjah when our good deeds are multiplied manyfold. And what another amazing opportunity while we're alive, before we're in the grave, to support the da'wah, to help us reach the over 300 million Americans who know little to nothing about Islam. With your help, du'as and support, we can make this a reality, the first mega dawah center in America. Consider making a small or big reoccurring donation so you can get the reoccurring rewards. It's a simple way to make a lasting impact for this life and the next to help us get to Jannah. Click the link below, donate right now. May God Almighty Allah reward all of you.
Assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace. Welcome to the Deen Show. How you guys doing? An exciting program for you. My next guest, Dr. Haifa Yunus, is an American board certified obstetrician and gynecologist and the founder and chairman of Jannah Institute. She teaches seminars on the thematic commentary on various chapters of the verbatim word of God Almighty, the Quran, and their practices' relevance in our day-to-day living. Without further ado, Dr. Haifa Yunus.
Life of a traveler. Experiences from different lands.
In our religion,
conversations
of Islam,
with a brother.
We love all the prophets.
The first command was called to the way of your Lord with wisdom.
Giving us stories that inspire.
In India.
That's motivation when you're feeling low. Speak your heart and let the world know. Bro, this is the Deen Show. Discussions on what's really real. Look at our law hills, seeing transitions from another life. Like, look at our law guides, from the streets to Islam, reformed, letting old habits go. Inspiration from around the globe. Bro, this is the Deen Show.
How are you doing?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, Jazakumullah khair for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you for accepting the invitation. I want to jump right into it. I heard you were just recently in Gaza.
Yes.
And you started off in the beginning of describing your experience there. And I want people to really imagine this. I mean, imagine your neighbor was flying a drone in your yard. How upset you'd be, right? And you couldn't, it was disturbing you. And imagine if we had just another country flying drones in our America here. Let's say people from Mexico or our neighbors from wherever else, drones all over the place. You get upset if you got a fly in a room and it's just buzzing, it's driving you crazy. Describe that, you know, so it could really hit home. Like people, this is literally, I heard this before, I was like, come on, it can't be that serious. But you were describing it and it was like, this is just incredibly insane.
It is, absolutely. The first time I heard it, the next day when they were taking us on a tour to the hospital, and I was like, what is that? And then they said, oh, that's the drones. That's how they say it. Oh, that's the drones. And then look up. I couldn't see it, fine. This was just like the beginning. But then when they showed us our room where we are staying, and it's a very small room, two windows, my bed was next to the window. And then when you are on that bed, literally a bee is in your ears, nonstop. And then I start asking the people there, what is this? Oh, literally like you and me drinking water. Oh, this is the drones. And I said, and what does that mean? Doesn't that bother you? They said, we got used to it. They got used to so many things. You and me and many of our viewers will never even think, imagine they will go through it, let alone live it. And they said, oh, if you hear the drones, don't worry, smile. I said, smile? He said, yeah, because when there is drones, that means there is no bombing. They're still discovering. It's when they are silent, you need to get very scared. And believe me, Brother Eddie, it is so scared when they are quiet.
And what are the mission of those drones?
Locate and bomb. Basically kill.
They're killing machines.
Killing machine with accuracy.
Wow.
They see what they want and they just attack it.
So you ended up going from here, America, you're a board certified medical doctor, and you end up in Gaza. How did that happen?
I begged Allah, and I really wanted to go. You know, I'm sure many of us are feeling, what are we doing, right? These are our brothers and sisters. This is injustice. This is suffering. What are we doing? And once I came to know that they are taking physicians, from February, I think, I start really applying to all these organizations. And I didn't get any positive response. I was in Mecca. I normally spend Ramadan in Mecca, and I really made a lot of dua to Allah. Ya Allah, open it up, subhanAllah. And when Allah opens it up, He opens it up in 3 days. I reached out to somebody I know. They said, yeah, we can take you. Get ready, 2 days, get your ticket. This is what they said. You sign papers. You're not coming back. Anything happens, it's your choice. And she said, you probably can get to, because you have to go through Egypt. You can go to Egypt and you will not be let in. You can get to Rafah, the Egyptian side, after 12 hours of driving. Anything can happen and they will not let you in. You may get to the other side. They will not let you in. Get ready. And subhanAllah, you know what? Allah makes things happen. You just go and you say, Allah, take me. And if you didn't take me for whatever the reason, I will still be rewarded. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Best thing ever happened to me. I'm really grateful to Allah.
So you're literally, they have you sign a paper that pretty much...
It's your responsibility.
So
your choice.
It's like, this is it.
This is it. And once you enter, you cannot leave earlier. You enter in a day and you leave in a day.
And I want people to understand, I mean, you had recently, you had those volunteers, humanitarian aid workers, not just one, two, three, their cars, they were going and they were supposed to have an escort. And you would think, okay, now they'll be safe. They're humanitarian workers, and each one of their cars got bombed.
They were ahead of us. We took the same road they took, same day.
You took the same, wait.
Same.
Among them are an American-Canadian dual citizen, a Polish citizen, an Australian, and three British citizens, their driver and translator, who is from Gaza.
So when you reach to, at least this was in April, when you reach to Rafah, the Palestinian, there's usually two ways because we're in the middle. We were assigned to Deir al-Balah. So there is the main road, Salahuddin, that was one taken, so nobody can use it. So they take you through a side road, which is very much parallel to the sea, but it is not a road. It is just dark and you get right, to go left, go right, go left. It is so scary. This is one of the moments I thought I will die. And I told the physicians with me in the car, all the volunteers, and it said, let's say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. So if anything happens to us, we will die on the Tawheed. We reached the hospital at 8 p.m. The World Kitchen came to the hospital at 9 p.m. dead.
World Kitchen, that's what it was.
That's what they were. Exactly. Three cars and they were attacked.
You're definitely in a death zone. You're there that at any time you can be just obliterated.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, because there's no reason why. And by the way, I mean, the cars, including theirs, these are usually, everything is signed UN, UN, WHO. I mean, it's not just a regular car. These are all they have, like, especially they put it on the top. Because
you can't miss it.
You can't miss it.
It's all over the car, on the top, bottom, side,
and then
left,
the
right.
The drones has lights and you can see it right away.
But no rules are being respected. It's like
I don't know if there's any rules to start
there's
with.
No, but you have like you UN. Yeah, you have ICCJ. You have all these world international organizations, Geneva Convention. It's like every rule is like being violated.
In front of the, this is the hospital. Just and it's the hospital, the road. It's very simple. The house, probably three blocks from the second entrance of the house. The house is all destroyed, right? One only survivor was all civilians. You don't know why this was attacked. Now, somebody was actually one of my colleagues, non-Muslim, she asked me, did you see any tunnels under the hospital? I said, we didn't see anything. The only people we met were civilians. These are like you and me and, you know, young and old and women, and half of them were not even patients, but they took refuge in the hospital because it's the only place that has electricity.
Mm-hmm. What do you like to say to people? I mean, to get them to understand what's really going on for the novice, the person who's like, you know, because at first glance they try to make you feel like it's so complicated, right? But it's pretty straightforward when you just get informed properly and you get the facts and you understand that this is not a Jewish Muslim thing. I tell my Christian friends, my Jewish friends, that look, if these were innocent Jewish babies, if these were innocent Christian babies, no matter what, all human life is precious.
Absolutely.
This is something that is clear. Us as Muslims who adhere to the verbatim word of God Almighty, the Quran, it's straightforward. It's sad to see, I don't know if you've seen some of those videos, where people, some religious people are actually condoning this. I don't know if you've seen some of those. It's scary.
The point is right here that Hashem say, do not have mercy on the children.
But in Islam, it's straight cut. You cannot harm non-combatants. Infrastructure, destroying all, there's clear rules of engagement, right? So, and then the land theft, you know, the stealing of other people's land, the controlling of their food, the apartheid, you know, the open air prison or open air concentration camp, you know, the daily oppression of people, soldiers going in people's houses and sleeping in their beds, and it's just unbelievable. What do you like when you speak to others who are kind of not understanding the situation and they think, okay, because they're trying to make the narrative like they just want to eradicate all Jewish people, they just want to, you know, this is their survival, they have a right to defend themselves and this is for their existence, even though historically there was peace there when Muslims ruled.
Absolutely. I think generally people in general, regardless, and I fully agree with you. I always tell people it's not a religious conflict. It is not. I mean, Jews lived with the Muslims. I mean, I grew up in Iraq. We had one of my best friends were Christian. We had Jews. It is a land issue. You have your home for the longest you can think of. And then as somebody comes in the last 75 years and come to your house and says, this is my house, you're out. So that's number one. Number two is the daily life. I'll give you one example so all the viewers will know this. The Palestinians are usually extended families. So you have here somebody living in Chicago and somebody, let's say, living in California. You want to go and see your family, what do? You take a plane or you take a car and you go, right? Natural, norm. Not in Palestine. So if the family lives in Gaza, because I asked them about this, they live in Gaza, and their, let's say, brother lives in the West Bank. Normally, the drive is maybe an hour, hour and a half. You can't do that. Number one, there's no airports. You cannot fly from Gaza. Can't. Or from the West Bank. So what do you have to do? You have to go out to Egypt. And from Egypt, you fly to Jordan. And from Jordan, you have to drive to get to Jerusalem and then to the West Bank. This is about 2 days. Wow. Right? Number one. Number two, imagine this. They told me there's three things that it is not allowed to come to the country even before all this. There is no chocolate, there is no ice cream, and there is no pencils. Why is that?
Repeat that. No chocolate, no ice cream, no pencils? What?
Yeah, never. It's not allowed
to enter. Did I hear that right? You said ice cream?
Yeah, and it's like, why? Why? I still need to. We heard this.
Maybe they're trying to watch people's health. They're trying to.
I would love that. I would be very happy if that's the case. So that's number one. I think people, the misconceptions are the following. Number one, they really need to go to the root cause. The root cause. This didn't start in October 7th. This has been going on for years. For example, I used to visit Jerusalem, you know, go and pray there. And I have met many Palestinian lives in not in Gaza. Gaza, they can't. Mm-hmm. The other places, it took them a day to come in a normal 30 minutes and an hour because of all the checkpoints. And you can, you cannot, and all the humiliation. It's their daily life. So that's number one. Everybody needs to go and read about the root cause. What is happening? Number two, what happened on October 7th? Somebody gave me a very beautiful analogy there. They said, okay, so your child hits the child of the neighbor, right? Mm-hmm. And you say he had no right to do that. Okay, then what do you do? You go around and you destroy the whole house of the neighbor. Is that fair? Is that how it is? Is that how I defend myself? So there's a lot of exaggeration. There is humiliation, children with no... I can't tell you what I saw. I saw children, no future. 8-year-old, alone, in the hospital, lost everybody. I see him every single day, wearing scrubs, pushing the patient's beds. The last day as I was leaving, I was like, wow, you're really smart, young man. He said, looked at me. And children, by the way, there are men, because their life push them to be men way younger. There's no childhood, right? And he said, I'm going to be an orthopedic surgeon. I said, wow, yes, inshallah. And then he said, and then my companion, I mean, he said he lost all his family. He's been living in this hospital, 8 years old, living in this hospital for the last 4 months alone. Nobody. They divide the orphan into four categories. Imagine this is any of our children. A child who lost everybody, including extended family, so he's the only survivor. You have a child who lost parents but still had some extended family. A child who lost a father still has the mother, or the other way around. Four categories. Woman, young and old, either they are or became a widowed already, or they don't know where is the men of the family. Don't talk about value, about valuables, about homes, about money. They don't think about this anymore. The basic right of a human living, literally, is not there. The basic, the base, yani, a clean water. What is a clean water for you and me? What is a bed for you and me? What is food? And I'm not talking about luxury food. I had it. First day we arrived, it's Ramadan, so we're fasting, and they said, we are sending you the iftar. By 9 p.m., what was the iftar, Brother Eddie? They brought me, I have the pictures of it, that three cans. One is hummus, one is beans, and the third one, I don't know what it is. So I said, I'm not opening these two. That's not waste. And they said, for you, we're getting you a piece of bread. So I took three pieces. Wallahi, I mean, and Allah is my witness. I have pictures of it. I took three bites of the hummus. I know what is hummus. And I said, alhamdulillah, it was 9 p.m., let's rest. All night, I was throwing up. My stomach couldn't take it. And these people were living on it for 7 months. When we were there for 7 months. Why? And why that long?
So these are things that now the you know, every human being, I mean, has good in them, obviously. You know, yes. we have this built in us, I mean, to distinguish basic things that are evil, and many people are seeing the evil that's being in 4K right before our eyes, and many are speaking out. You see a public shift happening, and it's unfortunate that some people are going to go on the wrong side of history. They are on the wrong side, and if they don't switch now, they're going to end up.
Yes.
So when you are there and you're seeing these children, and you'll see, to get people behind this, you have to paint the people like they're animals. They're not like me and you. They're you've heard this term Amalek, right? You've heard these terms like we have to get their children because they'll grow up to be, you know, they're scared of the children even growing up, and so they dehumanize. And then now it's like, okay, my conscience it shuts off because these are not human. And other people in history were also called, yes, when they were oppressed, they were called rats, and they would call others to go ahead and justify. But it's unfortunate now they're doing the same thing to these beautiful young children, and you've seen those children. It's like, what's the majority of them were even also refugees from
absolutely displaced.
And how was it? I mean, how many? It's like 50% of the population there is like under the age 18.
Absolutely. Or? Yeah. I mean, if you look, if I now remember the scene in the hospital, you see at least 40%. I'm just giving a rough.
Yeah.
Is children.
Just children.
Children.
They're at war with children.
It's children. And then you see probably actually more. I will say 50% are children and then maybe 30% are women, and then 20% are men. Either they are injured, they are disabled, or they are older. Mm-hmm. And the children still with all this, Brother Eddie, they are children. You know what we gave them the last day? Because there's things they told us bring with you. So we brought with us, of course, gloves. They don't have.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we were leaving, we had this box of gloves. We were giving it to the children. You know what they did with it? They blew it and made it as balloons. And you should see the courtyard of the hospital. They're all jumping, playing with the balloons. Why? Like your child, all our children, right? What is balloon? And the only is this color or that color. What is cakes? What is chocolate? Right? Mm. Again, ice cream, dessert. What is these? Meat. Me coming from here, because we stayed about 5 days, no meat. The day they brought us a big, huge, it's a famous Palestinian dish, Majaddara. At the end, I put my fork. I was telling my roommate, I think I feel something at the bottom. Literally. Looked. And I said, wow, piece of meat. I took it out and I was showing her. Can you believe it? And for us, what is meat? But this was only 5 days.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what about them? I think humanity needs to wake up. You know, humanity. And look at everyone equal. They need to live equally. And there is always ways of solving problems without this. I don't have a word. You know, many people have asked me. I said, there is no word to describe what I saw. It's beyond. You just feel, where are we heading?
Here you mentioned something about death, and I just want to put a disclaimer here, because I heard one politician once, he's saying they worship death, like Muslims. But obviously we prepare for death by doing good deeds, by living our purpose in life that our Creator created us for, to worship one and only one God and to be morally upright. And we know there's a paradise at the end and a hellfire, and this life is not just it. So that's when we talk about death. No Muslim just wants to die. But you mentioned here they talk about death like you and I talk about what we're going to have for dinner.
Because they have no choice.
That's it.
You and me talk about what we have for dinner because we have choice.
Mm-hmm.
They know, actually me, for 8 days, us, the group, we prepared ourselves that we may not wake up in the morning. I didn't make the choice. I never thought of making this choice. But everything around you makes you feel you can die in any second.
That's their life.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's their, because if the drones is on your head 24/7, what do you expect? If you are praying or you are seeing patients and then you hear huge bombing, you are in the middle of the ER and suddenly not even ambulances, they don't have it. Cars suddenly rush in, you know, they're bringing. And they bring dead people, they bring injured children, bleeding. I mean, scenes I have personally seen it only in movies. And subhanAllah. So of course you have to prepare yourself, like you're going to the desert for camping. What do you prepare yourself for? Mm-hmm. You're going to prepare yourself for it. It's going to happen. You yes. don't want it. You're not planning on it, but that's a possibility. That's the same way they are.
Mm-hmm.
They said,
I want to get you, this is one example of a reaction. Usually people, when they're in these situations, they just lose it, right? They're cursing this, cursing that, cursing God, just all over the place. But I want to get your reaction to this. Is this just a unique individual, or is this something that we're seeing the response from the majority of people like this?
Alhamdulillah. Allahumma laka alhamdu hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarak ya Allah. بليتني يا ربي في المرض قلت لك الحمد لله خصفت بيني قلت لك الحمد لله أسرت ابني قلت لك الحمد لله استشهد ابني قلت لك الحمد لله وهي الله وهل من مزيد برضى الحمد لله حتى ترضى حتى ترضى يا الله أنت تريد وأنا أريد والله يفعل ما يريد اللهم لك الحمد حمدا كثيرا طيبا مبارك. الله يسهل عليك يا امي، الله يحنن عليك يا امي. شيخ ساره في رمنا حبيبي بدي حج عمره، بدي اعملي كمان مره عمره، خديني عندك يا امي حج انا وانتي يا امي. حاضر يا امي حبيبي يا امي.
What was she saying for the people who...
She was talking to God and says, you took my house and I said all praise to you. You took security, I said all praise to you. You took my son, the first one, all praise to you. There's no food, all praise to you. Now she is mourning her second, I don't know, second or third son. I couldn't get it. And she said, all praise to you. And she's talking to her son. You're going there, give... greetings to the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and then something in that we will see you. That's very normal.
It's normal, huh?
That's very normal. I've seen it more than one time. Young children, this one story which really hit hard on me because I did see that. We were praying, it was Ramadan, so it was tahajjud salah, and like 2 a.m., a young 13-year-old come in and join us, 2 a.m. And then after two rukat, two units, he moves to the front, talk to the imam. The imam goes back, the 13-year-old lead us. Then he finished, then he looked at all of us, young man, telling us a small, beautiful poem about Palestine. He was Palestinian. Okay, why I'm saying this? Because then the imam looked at us and says, you know the story of this boy? I said, no. They said he was with all the extended family in one building. This is how what happens to them. So they all crumbled, you know, like 50 people in one building. And then they got hit, that building, right? He lost everybody except three, his two cousins and himself. So they came in to save them. They saved the two cousins. They forgot him. But what was he carrying in his hand? This is a 13-year-old boy. Five-year-old, his cousin dead for 3 hours. When this other cousin went to the hospital, he said, oh, he's still alive. They came back and picked him up. When I spoke to him, this is what you hear. They have faith in action. Faith, and I spoke to another woman who the story was beyond me. And I said, literally, I said, I'm a woman, you're a woman. How can you live this? And she said, I raised my children on living in the way that pleases God. And in all, everything is lawful. And then this life is temporary. One day we're all going to be out. She said, anybody stayed here forever? And then we live this life to the way that pleases God. They are connected. And you're not talking about people who are like PhD in Islamic studies. You talk about ordinary people. That's what you hear. Alhamdulillah. All praise to Allah. The only word of complaint I heard for 10 days, because I speak the language, so I'm talking to people, asking them everything. One, she said, in the Arabic, Doctora ta'abna, we're getting tired. That's it. That is it. Look at me and you and us from the morning till the evening. They are very strong, goal-oriented. They know, again, we're dying. There is heavens. There is hell. We're going to be taken accountable. And they believe in the cause. They believe and they pray. I didn't see anybody didn't wake up for Fajr. Didn't see anybody who didn't do tahajjud, whether individual or came with us. They're different. This is how I left Gaza and saying there is different people. You know, when we read and teach about Sahaba, the companions of Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam, and he said, how did he carry the flag and then he's going to go? You see these people. When you grew up on not too much luxury and everything is given and your basic rights are taken, you learn to adapt and you learn to focus and you learn to live differently. So they do not worship death. No, they don't. If they worship death, why do they kept showing me their pictures before and after? This is our home before. They show me pictures, people I didn't know. These are the people. Average person lost 25 kilos. I was like, this is you. But they said, you know what? Whatever God bring us, we have to take it and we will live the way it pleases him. But we are still defending our rights.
Yeah, it had me think when Jerusalem here, when it was historically, I mean, people can check, and this is history that's a lot of times they don't teach you in school. when the Muslims were ruling Jerusalem, you didn't have this kind of stuff of people being oppressed. You had people given their rights.
Absolutely.
You know, the people of the book, they were a protected people. People were really living in a relative peace. Is this correct?
Yes, absolutely. Even in Medina. Mm-hmm. In Medina, with the Prophet's peace be upon him, Muslims were there. They're ruling. They are the power.
The Medina Charter.
But then Jews were living there. As long as they respect and the other, they have their rights, everything. Yeah. As I told you, I grew up in Iraq, and my friend was Christian. There was a lot of Jews. They chose to leave or they chose to stay. But it is not about religion. It is not about religion. This is a land that was given unjustly to other people. And even the other people, why can't they live together as everybody else lived?
Mm-hmm.
Why it is they have no rights the other side at all?
You mentioned, this is interesting, I have not seen a woman not covered and saying that if we die, you know, they're still preserving their modesty.
This is the same woman who said, I raise my children on halal. I have not seen a single woman. I didn't see a hair of a woman in those old days, including the woman who I delivered and did a C-section for. And I thought, you know, it's because they don't have resources. And she said, no. So when I die covered. See, they're different.
So many lessons we can take now.
Absolutely.
From seeing these.
You know, they say, oh, thank you, jazakumullah khair for coming. May Allah reward you for coming. You helped us a lot. And I said, no, you helped us. Looking at this life very differently. And what does it mean when you have principles and you live by your principles?
Mm-hmm. Are you seeing a rise in people accepting Islam?
Ashhadu, ashhadu, an la, la, ilaha,
ilaha,
illa,
illa,
Allah,
Allah,
wa ashhadu, anna,
Muhammadan,
Rasulullah.
I
bear witness that there is no God but Allah.
No God but Allah.
And Muhammad is his messenger. Welcome to Islam.
Allah.
You're seeing a shift, you know, perception now of Muslims is changing, you know, even despite the media duplicity. Are you seeing it firsthand yourself?
Absolutely, yeah. There's even throughout this time, there is a shift. Social media is not people are faking it. I mean, these people are on the ground and they are seeing it. And anyone, any human being, they can see, maybe not as much as I saw because I was there, but you see the reality and people absolutely an increase, especially between women. You know, when they see the Palestinian woman, I hear it. I was like, this is how the Muslim woman should be. Why? Because of the Quran. I want to read the Quran. They read the Quran, they become Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely.
You mentioned a young boy and his dauntless, fearless attitude where he went up. I mean, this is a young kid, young boy, and he went up on a tank or something?
Yes. Yeah. This is the same mother
with
the son. Yes. Who they were from the north. They were displaced three times. Mm-hmm. And the fourth time, she said, I don't know how we survived, but it is not the time for us to go. Mm-hmm. So they told her, go and walk next to the sea. If the sea is on your right side, Brother Eddie, you're going south. And if the sea on your if the sea is on your right side, you're going south. If it's on the left side, you're going north. Okay. Yeah. So she said, where do I go? She said, go and walk on parallel to the sea, meaning you go south. She said, I took this 12-year-old boy. And then she said, barefooted, no food. She said, we reached a point where the mother, I can't do this anymore. I need something to eat or a drink, and the boy kept telling her, I can't walk anymore. I need something to eat. She said, she looked up, she saw a soldier, so she went up to the soldier. Yani, what's the possibility you will live? She went. And she said, this boy is hungry. Give me anything just to keep him going. So he gave her like a piece of cake, right? So she told the son, come up. The son, come up. And the son is 12-year-old, short, tiny. And he saw a tank. And he jumped on the top of the tank. And then he saw what's inside the tank. And he said the two soldiers in the tank pushed backward. They were scared. And I can't remember his name. And I said, weren't you scared? He said, no, I just want to see what's inside.
Mm-hmm.
What is this?
Hmm.
Well, I have no words. I was like, Ya Allah.
I want to go ahead, since we were talking about hijab and the woman's modesty. There was a unique situation of what's allegedly an IDF soldier, and I believe this is in the UK.
Why have you rushed them? Is anybody else in cuffs?
We're not going to have this discussion anymore. We'll speak to you about this in the police interview.
Yes, I need you to repeat that. Dirty f***ing Muslim. They're being anti-Semitic.
You just assaulted a young girl.
They're anti-Semitic.
You are vile. You are below it.
I don't know.
How dare you? You're the one putting hands on women. Disgusting.
I'm fully trained
as an MMA fighter. You don't
want to
touch me.
I'm an IDF soldier.
I don't give two flying fucks.
So it's not IDF, it's
IOF.
IOF.
That's what they say.
Yes.
That's the term they use.
And that stands for?
It's Israeli Offensive Forces or Israeli Occupation Forces.
Occupation Forces. Because the only people defending themselves are the innocent children and the innocent people there. So what do you think when you see this now? You see that this person is representing himself as IDF, IOF, and now he had taken off. I guess he assaulted, probably the one recording is not the Muslim woman, but...
No.
She was stepping up to
the one in the back.
Yeah. So he went and started assaulting a Muslim woman. And you're somebody who also obviously imitates Mary, the mother of Jesus. We discussed this in our last program.
Yes.
And when you see this, I mean, such a coward. I mean, this is just, and then the man steps up and then he just shrivels up. But when you see that, what's your reaction?
I tell you what I see. I see a lot of goodness in this. Mm-hmm. But not from that man.
Yeah.
That man, I feel sorry for. Mm-hmm. You know why? Honestly. Because he's a human being. But he's misinformed. There's a reason why he's saying this. It's simply because he doesn't know. Like many, many human beings. He doesn't know. Because if he went with me to Gaza and he saw what I saw, he will never do that. He will never do that. But what I really liked is the non-Muslim woman. Why? Because she's a human defending a human.
Yes.
And she's a woman defending woman dignity. Nobody has a right to attack anybody, right, publicly. It's a freedom of choice. Whatever you want to practice, practice, as long as you're not offending other. And then I like the two men. May Allah bless the two men also. The two men who came in, and when you could see he's becoming very close to the other woman, and then the man came in between
both. Yes.
Yes. This is how we should act. When evil comes in, we as a human, we need to stop that evil, not defend that evil.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine if this man, all these people in the station defended him. What will happen to this woman, the other Muslim woman? What will happen to them? They will be attacked.
Yes.
But when everybody stood up with the right thing to do, this man became alone. And finally, he got arrested.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then the common attacks are that... And he starts with the derogatory language, and you're anti-Semitic,
yeah, exactly.
And whatnot. You know, what do you like? How do you like to respond to that?
What again? Why this is anti-Semitic? This is nothing to do with Jewish or a Muslim, right?
Well,
this is a Muslim woman. Is she Palestinian? I don't think so. If I am correct, I think it's the colored woman. She's not a Palestinian. Why you are attacking a Muslim woman? Why? Did she say anything against the Jews? Was she carrying something about the Jews? Did she say? Did she act? It's just assumption because that's what we are feeding everybody. And this really, there is a lot of responsibility fall on many to make sure people know the truth and let them then decide. But don't feed them that if you say anything with the people of Palestine, you're anti-Semitic. No. Because I'm sorry, but there is people in Palestine that are non-Muslims.
Mm-hmm.
There are people, Jews, who are...
There are Christians also who are also Palestinian there.
And there is Jews who live in here and live elsewhere who are saying this is what is happening is not just.
They're saying not in our name. Yeah,
exactly,
Jews for
not
peace
in our name.
Yeah. So people whose heart is alive, their heart is not dead. Their humanity is on.
Yes.
They can see the injustice that's happening there, and people are starting to speak out. I thought this was interesting, this next clip here.
Yes.
Because because it revolves around him trying to take off the hijab, and so many misconceptions about revolve around that. And I usually make the example of Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Yes.
If you type in Google, Mary, the mother of Jesus, she's going to be
covered,
having what you have on.
Yes.
But this video kind of shows different countries with women in the hijab. Back to what you were saying, education. Like when you see, look at these historically. When you see, when you go back, what did you say? How far back? And you see pretty much women preserving their modesty, modest dress. They're like wearing hijab. They're not even Muslim.
Absolutely, because haya, bashfulness, you know, and humbleness is not related to religion only. It is related to humanity. As a human beings, we look at ourselves differently. And God created us to look at ourselves differently. We need to be covered. I mean, it's a verse very well known in the Quran in general, right? Cover yourself. Don't let shaitan, the Satan, lure you to take off your clothes. Ya bani Adama, SubhanAllah, it's not coming, but it's in Surah Al-A'raf, where don't let shaitan lure you to remove your garment, and the garment of piety is the best garment. But again, because we really need to read history, Brother Eddie. I mean, as to make a fair judgment on anything, you need to read history, what happened, reality. Number two is, people have the right? They always talk about the right of people to choose, right? A woman decide not to cover, and a woman decide to cover. That's a choice she made to obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the Muslim woman, to obey Allah or not to obey Allah. I don't have the right to come and offend anyone because I am not God. I am not. I can say my opinion, of course, but respect. We are losing this respect to humanity, respect let alone to women. This is public. This is underground in I don't know if underground or train station.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Where is the reason for this? Did she provoke him? No. She was walking. Because the woman was telling him.
Yes.
She was walking. Why? This man was misinformed, with a lot of hate infiltrated in him. Hate, that's what it brings. Every extreme bring another extreme. Mm-hmm. And we really need to come back to the middle.
And that's the ironic thing. You see a lot of people, they're tag teaming up, and their relationships are based off hate, Muslims, and hating pretty much the unknown.
Yeah.
Because when you really get to know Islam, like most people now, when they're seeing this what's going on in Gaza, and then they're opening the Quran, they're reading for themselves, and many are even accepting Islam. And then when you study the history, and you see the one that Jesus's mother, that this blessed woman, the most honored woman in Islam, wearing hijab, and historically you see women preserving themselves, and then you see what Islam's core message is, the preserving of the absolute oneness of God, the monotheism, and being morally upright, being a good human being, and then you see, wow, these are things that I can connect with. These are things that make sense.
Absolutely.
And
the main thing, Islam came in to protect the five. You know this.
Mm-hmm.
The five basics, which is number one, is life.
Life.
Religion.
Yes.
Property.
Yes.
Sanity.
Uh-huh.
And honor.
Yeah.
Any of these, remember, life before religion.
Mm-hmm.
Human being's life is very, absolutely, it's very sacred. This all came Islam to preserve, not to destroy. And if people know that, then why do you have an issue with Islam? I think Islam is the most misunderstood religion and people don't present it, let alone the media, of course, and everything connect with Islam, even if it is not. Like, remember ISIS. Did ISIS has anything to do with Islam? Right? And then propagate it.
The same way the KKK doesn't represent Christianity.
Christianity, exactly. Yeah. Right? So I think the most important thing for everybody, Muslims and non-Muslims, educate yourself. Go to the right source. And I'm so grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something called social media.
Yeah.
Because it brought reality. I mean, I was there, I was seeing it. It's not someone told me.
You brought up ISIS. I don't know, some people said ISIS stands for something else other than this. Have you know the abbreviation?
No.
The Israeli Secret Intelligence Service. I mean, if it were to have initials, it would be ISIS.
Oh, okay. All right, so in conclusion now, so you spent some time, may God Almighty Allah reward you. There's doctors still to this day going there. Can they still get there with everything that's happening? What's the current situation now with Rafah?
Well, there was a group who came after us, and then they were stuck there for about a week.
Yes.
But now all of them left. I met two of them last week.
Yeah.
And then I was just told this morning there's a group supposed to be, inshallah, God's willing, they will be leaving on the 17th of June. They really need that help, Brother Ali. The health system, I don't know I call anything left of it, if there is any health system. I did a C-section there, and it's so ironic. I did a C-section there, and the day I landed, like the first day of work after I came back, I did a C-section. The woman comes in, right? Not a single requirement of hygiene, meaning she's covered by a blanket from whatever. She is not her hair covered by her own hijab. You bring her to the operating room, nothing on the operating table. There was anesthesia, walillah alhamd, because there was some medication. But there is the basics when we do C-section. And here, what size of gloves, right? What instruments you use. There, Dr. Yunus, only 7.5, 1.5 size my hand. I had to do it. I have no other option. Right? No cautery, no suction, right? Sutures, they give you whatever and you just work. As I finished, they call, says, a patient is bleeding after surgery. So I go on to see her, right? Normally here in the United States, you go, you see, look at the patient face and you look at the monitor. So you know what is going on. I go, I look up, there's no monitor. There's no blood pressure. It's amazing. And then you just use your whatever you know, whatever. I just held her hand and I check the pulse. I said, the pulse is strong. She's fine. No medications that normally we have here, a cascade of things you do. I said, we only have this medication. I said, give it to her. You start praying and you ask Allah to keep her strong. She looks at you and says, I'm fine. The patience makes you even stronger. So this is the health system. Nothing. I mean, they are extremely resourceful. Here, like, I can't do this because that's not the right instrument. They if not the right instrument, they make it the right instrument. They don't have it.
Final words, I mean, for people here, you got, I mean, just we have so many blessings. There are so many things you're complaining day and night. And just listening to this, I mean, this should really be a wake-up call for many of us here. And, you know, to really, when you mentioned you didn't see one of them not waking up for Fajr, you know, praising and thanking their creator instead of cursing, you know, the day and the night and God. And reminding ourselves about death, they can, I mean, if it's written, they'll survive. Some of us can die tomorrow, right? And we're not taking the deen seriously and getting involved in all the things that some people shouldn't be involved in. And, you know, what lessons, what did you take from that coming back? And what advice?
I will say to everybody listening to us, number one, literally the word we use, but we don't use it seriously. Count your blessings.
Count your blessings.
Count your blessings. You know, what does it mean to have a clean bathroom? We were physicians, one bathroom for 30 people. For the hospital, 300 people. Count the blessing of having clean water, have food, and safety. Safety, you sleep. You sleep and you wake up and there is nothing around you. You don't know what is going to happen. Are you going to be dead or alive? Number two, for us as Muslims, this is to the Muslims. We really need to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We really need to start practicing our deen the way that pleases Allah. Let not this life, with this all the luxury that Allah blessed us with, take us away from Him. Because could be me, you, anyone listening, that turn back to Allah sincerely, and he or she is pleasing to Allah, make this dua, Ya Allah, end it, and it will end. For the non-Muslim, the same thing. Let not the focus be this life. Nobody will live forever. Anybody? Nobody. And then there is, after it, there is accountability. And for the non-Muslims especially, or even the Muslims who are not very well educated about this topic, educate yourself. Read history. Read what is Palestine. Read what is Gaza. Read about the people. Read about 1948. Read about the Balfour Declaration. All these, so you have an idea. This is an end, and I hope it is the end. This is basically the result of a long history of injustice, injustice, injustice. In every human being, every soul should stand up for injustice. We see animal, when injustice is done against animal, we as Muslims and as a human in general should stand up for that animal because he's defenseless. So how about when we see all these children and women? Subhanallah.
Jazakallah khair. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Jazakallah khair for the invitation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for everybody, and may Allah remove every injustice on this earth and make everybody live in peace.
Ameen. Jazakallah khair. Thank you.
Absolutely. Jazakallah khair.